Be it superstition or just an apparition, you suddenly appear inside my heart. But does this strange romance stand the ghost of a chance?
Welcome to From the Bleachers, a very bleak episode of From the Bleachers. I'm your host, as always, Seamus Clancy, coming to you from the wonderful, the magnificent, the terrific Bleeding Green Nation Radio Podcast Network. Is there any podcast network out there as talented, as deep as this? I can't imagine so. But know who's not talented and deep? Our Philadelphia Eagles. Pains me to say. My fellow Eagles fans, I'm a mess. I am simply a mess right now at this 0-2 hole. I'm having an identity crisis just as much as the Eagles themselves are having an identity crisis. I think back to when the Eagles selected Jalen Hurts in the second round back in April. I was on Instagram Live with the great, the wonderful Michael Kist on the Bleeding Green Nation Instagram. And if you're not following them, I do tons of great content on there all week at Bleeding Green Insta. Make sure to follow us on there. But I remember I was wearing a Carson Wentz North Dakota State jersey. Going up to the pick, I said, there's no way the Eagles can mess up this pick. Assume they were taking Jeremy Chinn or a player like that. They select Jalen Hurts. My mind goes spiraling out of control. And I sit here today, in the middle of this identity crisis that is plaguing me and the Eagles. I am wearing a Jalen Hurts Oklahoma jersey that I bought from Nike's website for $40. Jumpman logo on there and everything. That's how messed up I am right now. That's how confused I am as an Eagles fan. That's how irrational of an Eagles fan right now. Got the Oklahoma jersey on, my Hellboy hat. I'm confused. I'm ready to vent. Ready to give you guys a voice because none of us know what's going on right now. It's so painful to say. I don't know what's going on with Carson Wentz. I have been Wentz's biggest offender at every turn, getting blocked by national NFL writers, people all over the place defending our great and our beloved Carson Wentz. And he's played two of the worst games I've ever seen him play. Maybe the two worst in back-to-back weeks. Had moments in each game where he could have taken over, taken control of the game, you know, put the other team out of it, and just hasn't done it. And it's concerning. It's highly concerning. I can't believe I've lost hope and lost faith in a season as quickly as I have right now. The last time the Eagles were 0-2 was 2015. I was a senior in college. The Eagles lose on Monday Night Football in Week 1 to the Atlanta Falcons. Kiko Alonso has that phenomenal interception early on. The Eagles don't do anything. That's Sam Bradford's first game as an Eagle. Chip Kelly's last Week 1 game as an Eagles head coach, the beginning of the end of the Chip era. Week 2 at home against Dallas. You know, I get amped up for Dallas Week more than most people. Embarrassing loss. I walk out of the stadium a mess, screaming. So pissed off. Take the subway back to school. And even then, I still held out hope that a playoff run was still in the cards. And now, after these two losses, Washington lost embarrassing. Wentz played so terrible against the Rams. He had that, I'll never get over that, Arthego Whiteside pass. He throws it in a double coverage against two Arthego Whiteside. And friend of the podcast, Ryan Jones, who had been on an episode before the season started, talking about Joe Judge, NFC East coaches, said, if J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is getting double teamed, why would you throw it to him? Take that as a win that they're putting two guys on the worst skill position player on the whole damn team. Take solace in that and hit an open receiver because someone's going to be open then. What I always say about the Eagles is, give me to December. I am usually an overly optimistic Eagles fan. As irrational as I am, as emotional I am, it's hard for me to lose faith in an Eagles team. I always say, let's get to December. Let's get on that unlikely playoff run. Let's, if things aren't humming and mowing like the 2017, let's get into the playoffs. Let's get a playoff game. Let's get win some playoff experience. Let's win a playoff game. Have that great memory for us. 2018, they sneak into the playoffs. They need a bunch of help for it. But guess what? We get gifted the double doink game. Great Eagles moment we'll think about forever. Nick Foles, game-winning drive. Throws a touchdown to Golden Tate, who didn't even know what the play was. That's what I want. Part of me wants that. Part of me wants that, you know, that fun December game. I have my parents over. I have Ashley over. Obviously, Ashley and I live together. And we're sitting there and we're getting hyped, making Bloody Marys before the game, you know, eating some Fink's hoagies during the game. I want that. But again, I've never lost faith. It's just not happening this year. It's just not happening. Wentz has regressed. He hasn't improved since 2017. I thought that end of the season run in 2019 was going to really spearhead him getting back to that level he was in his MVP caliber 2017 season. We just haven't seen it. Now Jalen Reagor's hurt. Now the defense is in shambles. Jim Schwartz. Oh my God. I talked all last week on the podcast about Sean McVay versus Doug Peterson, how I always hang my hat on all the hype around Sean McVay, that Doug Peterson has beat him in every turn. Doug Peterson scored 41 points in the Super Bowl. Sean McVay scored 3. All of that stuff. And it feels like it's already gone out the window. Jim Schwartz looked like he had never watched 1 second of film or tape on Sean McVay. This is Sean McVay's what? Fourth season NFL. Has been running the same offense the entire time. Runs bootleg after bootleg. Misdirection. Movement before the snap. We all know what was happening. Play action rollout from Jared Goff. Hitting Tyler Higbee with Nathan Gary nowhere near him. In coverage. And it looked like Jim Schwartz didn't have a clue what was going on. Now, I've been a detractor of Jim Schwartz. But ultimately, I think he's done a better job than Eagles fans give him credit for. You're talking about firing Jim Schwartz. You're like, okay, well, who are they hiring instead that's going to do a better job? That's not a guarantee they're going to do that. But after that performance, that is just embarrassing. I'm embarrassed to be a fan of the Eagles. It looked like he had no idea what was happening. The Eagles players on defense were so unprepared for what was happening, even though they played Sean McVay multiple times in their career. Just thoroughly, thoroughly unprepared. It's embarrassing. I can't believe what I was watching. He would roll out every single time. That's what Sean McVay does. That's what Jared Goff does. Play action rollouts. Misdirection. Pre-snap motion. And they look like they had no clue it was coming. It's so hard for me now not to drop F-bomb after F-bomb. That's how angry I am talking about this. Jim Schwartz, all Schwartzy. Good luck coaching Archbishop Wood next year as their defensive coordinator. Maybe he'll square off against Bishop Eustace's offensive coordinator, Chip Kelly. I'm just embarrassed. There's no way they make the playoffs, right? They're playing a Bengals team that was the worst team in the NFL last year. Joe Burrow looks really good. They're coming off playing Thursday Night Football last week. They lost, but Burrow looked really good. Have a good collection of receivers. Tyler Boyd looks like one of the emerging players in the NFL right now. And they're on 10 days rest, and somehow I feel like the Eagles are going to lose. They're 5.5-point favorite. That feels like a Bengals line to me. I don't know when the last time the Eagles won an 0-3 hole is. I can't imagine it. I can't fathom it. It's scary to think that this season could be down the drain 3 weeks into September. Let me go to Sunday Night Football and 49ers. 49ers, maybe the only team as banged up in the NFL as the Eagles. Maybe they pull off a win there, steal a win that we thought was going to be a loss before the season started. But 0-3, I can't face 0-3 in the face. I just can't. I'm scared at that thought. I don't want Jalen Hurts to take over for Carson Wentz right now. I did like the Packers. And that's the crazy part, too. I'm such a Taysom Hill hater. But at the same time, I really enjoyed when Jalen Hurts was on the field. I think when they're going in their goal line package, especially two-point conversion, every two-point conversion, to me, Jalen Hurts should be on the field. They should go for two every time, that run-pass option. He's built like a linebacker. I wouldn't say a linebacker. He's 6'1", 223 pounds, built like a running back. Almost not Cam Newton-esque completely, but a little along those lines. He should be on there in those two-point conversions instead of the naked pitch to Miles Sanders. I liked when Doug went for two. I'm always a proponent of going for two. Doug, Big Stones Doug, wasn't on the field on Sunday, and that really angers me. Those two times he kicked when he should have just went for it. The Rams are offsides. Could have went from a 4th-and-8 on that field goal to a 4th-and-3 late in the game. You're playing to lose. You're playing not to lose. Playing scared. You wrote a book. I had this book right near my desk where I write, record my podcasts and everything. The spine of the book says, Fearless, Hatchet Books, Doug Peterson. You weren't quite fearless on Sunday, Doug. Oh my God. What's going to happen? I don't know what I'm going to do. I feel like I'm going insane. That meme everyone says, like, I'm going to become the Joker. If the Eagles go 0-3, including two losses to the two teams with the worst record in the NFL last year, I am going to become the Joker. That's all I have to say. They need an overhaul. They need an overhaul. I don't know what's going to take for that to happen. I don't want the Eagles to bottom out. I want to see them win. I want to see them go 10-6, 11-5, go on a miraculous playoff run. Win a playoff game. Carson Wentz gets his first playoff win. I want all of that to happen. but I am terrified that the bottom is coming out on this team and we're reaching the end of the era, the Super Bowl era, this the beginning of the Doug Peterson era. I'm not saying Doug's gone as coach. I certainly don't want Doug gone as coach. But this iteration of this team feels like it's ending this season. This is the end of the line for this iteration of the Philadelphia Eagles. I really am terrified they're going to lose on Sunday. And last week on the podcast, as we're ending, I'm going on McVay versus Peterson rant, and I convinced myself that they're going to win. Now I feel like I'm convincing myself they're going to lose, and it's terrifying. I don't know what's going to happen this Eagles season, but it's going to be like, it feels like it's going to be like unlike any Eagles season that I can remember in the worst, worst possible way. I see people pointing out the Eagles made the playoffs in 2003. It was McNabb and Reed's fifth year with the team, as it is Doug's and Wentz's fifth year of the team. They started out 0-2, lost to the reigning Super Bowl champions Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the first game at Lincoln Financial Field in week one. Week two, they lose to the eventual Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. They have a very strange week three bye in 2003. You know, win in week three against Buffalo, go on a 12-4 run, have home field advantage, make the NFC Championship game. That's the 4th-26 game in the divisional round versus the Packers. They win. That's not happening this year. Carson Wentz isn't as good as Donovan McNabb was in 2003. I wrote about this week in my newsletter. If you love the podcast, you love me on Twitter at Seamus_Clancy, you got to check out my newsletter, patreon.com/Seamus_Clancy. McNabb is just more accomplished, more, I don't want to say more talented, because Wentz's talent is through the roof, but certainly at the same time, you know, fifth year in his career, infinitely more accomplished than Carson Wentz. The Eagles, I looked up to see what are some differences between those teams. What is it going to take for the Eagles to go on that miraculous 12-4 run, overcoming their 0-2 deficit? And I saw that in 2002, so the previous season, the Eagles' defense finished 4th in Football Outsiders DVOA metric. 2001, they were finished 1st in DVOA, defensive DVOA. So you're coming off a team that is clearly a top 2, top 3 defense in the NFL. You're bringing back in 2003, they played two tough, tough opponents, a Tampa Bay team that owned him, were in their heads after the final game at the Veterans Stadium, 2002 NFC Championship game. Then they played the eventual Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots. The Eagles aren't playing two Super Bowl teams in week one, week two. They played Washington with Dwayne Haskins at quarterback. And while the Rams might be good this year, they're in a tough division. Could be a situation where, I don't know, what if every team in the NFC West makes the playoffs? I don't know if that's going to happen, but at the same time, they're not at the New England Patriots level, the way the Patriots were in week two, 2003. I don't see it happening. This team is bad. They lose. They're just not. This doesn't happen to good teams. Good teams don't do this. Good teams don't make these mistakes. I'm so angry. If the Bengals win this week, just disaster written all over it. Season from hell. I'm worried we're having a 2015 redux. Season from hell. And, you know, there wholesale changes need to be made. Doug Peterson is not one of them. Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie treats him as his own son, his own flesh and blood. There's no way Howie goes away after the season. And I think at the same time, you know, winning a Super Bowl does buy you some leeway, understandably, even if all of his moves since the Super Bowl, since that Super Bowl win, have been, you know, disastrous to a degree. Now Jalen Reagor's hurt. I'm angry. One of these things that's been bothering me about the Eagles that I think is part of their offensive struggles since 2018 is this infatuation with 12 personnel. Now, initially, that seemed like an awesome move to me. In 2018, the Eagles trade back from the 32nd pick in the first round because they were the Super Bowl champions. People forget that. Make a trade with the Ravens, who inevitably selected Lamar Jackson at 32, but that's a story for a different day. Eagles trade down. With the 49th pick in the second round, they take Dallas Goedert. Strange that a team takes a backup tight end, coming off a Super Bowl win when they had a Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl hero on their roster, and Zach Ertz. But then they put this emphasis on running 12 personnel with two tight ends on the field. And I'm thinking, you know, what if this is the 2011 Patriots Part 2? Reality, Ertz and Goddard, probably two of the top five tight ends in the league. Now, Dallas Goedert doesn't get all those reps the way he would if he was on his own team without Ertz, but he's undeniably talented. In week one, he had 8 catches, 101 receiving yards, and a touchdown. He looked downright George Kittle-esque, barreling through defenders, physical beast. And the idea behind 12 personnel is that it creates mismatches at every turn. Defense comes out in a base defense against the Eagles and 12 personnel. Good luck sticking a linebacker on Ertz or Goddard. They come out in nickel. well, Goddard's a fantastic blocker, Ertz has improved, we're going to punish you in the running game. That just hasn't been the case. Last year, the Eagles finished 19th in yards per attempt with 4.1. They finished 11th in the league overall in rushing yards. In 2018, Josh Adams led the team with 511 rushing yards. They're not this dominant running team. At the same time, the passing offense has regressed tremendously since 2017. Now, in 2017, Trey Burton did have 5 touchdown catches and played well, but the Eagles weren't running a ton of 12 personnel, even when they had, you know, Brent Celek, the, you know, kind of a shell of Brent Celek on the team still. Their base offensive set was Alshon Jeffrey, 11 personnel. Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith on the outside, Nelson Aguilar in the slot, and Zach Ertz a tight end. That was a very balanced offensive attack that still had a dynamic nature to it. Alshon Jeffrey, your red zone, big play, possession receiver, Torrey Smith as your vertical threat, Nelson Aguilar, well, all of his warts since 2017, you know, he was a Super Bowl hero too. People forget that as much as I've criticized him since then. Criticism was warranted, but can't take away what he did in 2017, was fantastic in the slot for the Eagles. That offense was fun, it was quick, had dynamicism to it. Ever since then, with this emphasis on 12 personnel, there's a lack in big playability. Things are slowing down. The offense is plodding. We're going these very long, methodical drives when the Eagles really do need some scoring punch. They just don't have it. They have not had it since 2017. Maybe that's Wentz losing some of his mojo. Maybe that's, you know, Doug's play calling getting a little vanilla. Maybe that's the absence of Frank Reich and John DeFilippo. But at the same time, they're getting bogged down with 12 personnel. It's just not working. They're missing speed on the offense. And you thought that was getting corrected this offseason with Jalen Reagor and DeSean Jackson. But at the same time, the Eagles were in, and these stats are coming from Bo Wolf, Birds with Friends, The Athletic, great follow, great writer. The Eagles were in 12 personnel 80% of the time against the Rams. They've been in it this season 68% of the time, which is obviously toxic. The next closest team came out in at 31% in 12 personnel. And there was this emphasis on adding speed this offseason to get those, you know, athleticism on the field, those big play threats. And Jalen Reagor, already hurt, was hurt before the season, comes back in, tears a ligament in his thumb in week 2 on a fantastic catch he made on a terrible, terrible hospital ball from Carson Wentz against the Rams. Now Jalen Reagor's out. DeSean Jackson, who, while missing almost all of last season, came back in, you know, had some nice catches against the Rams, but has essentially been on the NFL equivalent of a pitch count. So you're still playing two tight ends the vast majority of the time. Now, Alshon's still out. Jalen Reagor's out. John Hightower, who I was hyping up before the season, looked totally lost in week 1 against Washington. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, a bust in the highest to the highest degree, has 1 target in 2 weeks, 0 catches. John Hightower, as lost as he seemed, I'd rather take a chance with him out there with his speed rather than what I know is a known quantity and someone who frankly stinks. Arcega-Whiteside, he stinks. Terrible pick. I don't want to say a fireable offense, but it just adds up of all the poor drafting they've had since that 2016 Wentz draft. Every draft since then, pretty bad. Their best pick in the last 3 years in a draft, that is 3 years, 4 years, is a backup tight end. And yeah, he's essentially a starter with how I'm saying their emphasis on 12 personnel. But at the same time, they took a number 2 tight end in the second round coming off a Super Bowl win, and that's been their best pick since. Not great. Not great, Bob. I don't know how to fix this. I think it's coming down to a decision where, you know, sooner rather than later, they're going to, for not only for the sake of their, you know, Ertz and Goddard's own ability, their own talent, their own career trajectory, for the sake of this Eagles offense, I think they need to make a change soon. I'm not saying they need to trade Zach Ertz right now. They need to trade Dallas Goedert. But this offseason, something has to go. Something has to change. And I'm not saying this. They need to trade Zach Ertz because he stinks. Zach Ertz is phenomenal. Zach Ertz is on a Hall of Fame trajectory. But at the same time, he's going to be more expensive. He's going to be older. Dallas Goedert is this, you know, kind of uber-talented physical player whose, you know, career is on the upswing. And who's going to be cheaper and younger than Zach Ertz. So in reality, I would trade Zach Ertz. That's, not a slight against Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz is phenomenal. He deserves to get paid what he wants. At the same time, it's probably not wise for the Eagles to do that. And I don't know what the fix is. Again, I think they need to run less 12 personnel with all these injuries. It necessitates having their 2 best pass catchers, Ertz and Goddard, on the field. And I get it. They want to have their most talented players out there. But I feel like we're getting into the Sixers territory where we're trying to zig when everyone else is zagging. But at the same time, we're just playing slow, plodding, unexcited football. That's simply not working. The offense is not humming. The offense is stagnant. Maybe that's the play calling. Maybe that's, again, regression from Wentz, poor decision-making, inaccuracy from Wentz. But at the same time, that 12 personnel, those two tight end sets and packages, are doing no one any favors. Not doing the Eagles favors, not doing each player's own, you know, talent or their, you know, respective career trajectory favors. Certainly not doing fantasy owners any favors, too, when they're debating whether this guy's even going to get targets. You know, what I think on Sunday, Ertz had 7 targets, Goddard had 8 against the Rams. You know, obviously, I think Ertz has now 8 catches for 60 yards in 2 games plus a touchdown, but Goddard has more than double the yards on the season. So it's strange. So you're having those guys back out there, and you think there's, you know, time for both of them to catch it. They could replicate that Gronk and Hernandez last season. They had 2 tight ends to catch the most passes, respectively, since Gronk and Hernandez in 2011. But Zach Ertz isn't on his way to an eye-popping statistical season like we're used to. And again, that's not an indictment of Ertz's talent. It's just how the offense is playing right now. And Goddard could, again, be a guy who's looking at in a different offense, or when he's the lone tight end in an 11 personnel heavy offense, a guy could approach, you know, 1,000 receiving yards and double digit touchdowns. And that's just not happening right now. They're not maximizing each person's talent. Again, it's like the Sixers, where having 15 big men on the field, on the court, without any guards seems like a problem. Having a bunch of tight ends on the field, and Alshon Jeffery comes back, essentially a third tight end with his speed and athleticism at his age after all these injuries, it's not working. We need big play threats. And again, you thought Jalen Reichert was going to be doing that. He's hurt. Even when he was healthy and DeSean Jackson was healthy and John Hightower's out there, they're still running a ton of 12 personnel and just not working. Again, the lack of depth and talent at receiver is necessitating it to a degree. But ultimately, it's not a fruitful in Denver. And again, there's no quick solution to this. They're probably going to have to ride this out for this season. But it's just another facet of this Eagles team that's not working, along with the defense, along with the pass rush isn't what we want it to be. You know, Carson Wentz isn't where we want him to be. The coaching staff isn't where we want it to be. Howie Roseman isn't where we want him to be. I'm nervous. And I hope on Monday or next week's podcast, when I'm here, I'm eating crow. Carson Wentz throws 4 touchdown passes. I'm sure Zach Ertz and Goddard will combine for 195 receiving yards, you know, 17 catches, 3 touchdowns. And I'll eat crow and look like an idiot. But even so, these are long-term issues for the Eagles without a clear, immediate solution. I think that's the issue with the Eagles overall. They have a bunch of long-term problems, and they are stuck where they are right now, whether it be for talent reasons, depth reasons, salary cap reasons. We are watching this team bottom out. Not bottom out in terms of finishing, you know, top 5, bottom 5 record. You know, the bottom's coming out in this team, this iteration of the Eagles, this, you know, quote-unquote, the first Super Bowl era of the Eagles team, Eagles franchise of the Doug Peterson era. I'm nervous to say the least. Anyway, that's what I got this week. Usual plugs, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Seamus_Clancy. Do a ton of Instagram content. You could also follow that I run the Bleeding Green Nation Instagram, as I mentioned earlier, at Bleeding Green Insta. You know, sign up for my Patreon newsletter. Again, if you like this podcast, if you listen to this podcast, if you like my tweets, $2 per month, 20 newsletters per month every Monday through Friday morning. Patreon.com/Seamus_Clancy. And be sure to give everyone else on this network a listen. So many talented voices out there. We love the Eagles. Love everyone who's listening. Go Birds. And hopefully, I have a more positive tone next week. Go Birds.
BGN.